I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's bring him in now. Ben Fennell, the film analyst and producer for the NFL Network and ESPN, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Ben, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Great joining you.
Glad to have you. So the Packers head into this bye week. First of all, an amazing game last night, but the San Francisco 49ers fall, which helps the Green Bay Packers in their quest to get one of the top two seeds or top seed in the NFC. So if you're this Packers team and you're going into the bye week and you're going to self-scout, what are some of the things that you believe this team needs to work on?
Well, first and foremost, like every team needs to during the bye week, you want to get healthy. And when you have your entire arsenal of skilled players on the outside and, you know, a full hopper of defensive backs and safeties on the defensive end, I think everybody just wants to take that extra week off and get healthy. And when you have your full roster of weapons at your disposal, I think that just gives your team that many more options and that semblance of consistency for the back half of the season.
The Packers have got it done in many different ways. Now, one of the things that they were doing prior to the return of Devontae Adams was throwing to the guys out of the backfield in Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. They've since then, since Devontae Adams' return, have somewhat stopped doing that. And a little bit to the dismay of their fans, do you think that they are missing the boat by not doing this more often? Or do you think that once you get one of your better playmakers back, you got to go to Devontae more and more and more?
Well, I like to think I've kind of been one of the forefront advocates of getting the running backs vertical out of the backfield. And we've seen that with Aaron Jones this year in a variety of concepts. And your running backs are some of your most explosive players on the field. And if you're not taking advantage of their skill set in the pass game, you're really doing a disservice to your offense by not having those players at your disposal to make plays in other ways than just handing them the football. And I think we've seen the abilities of Aaron Jones and that he can be just as productive and just as dangerous as a Christian McCaffrey or a Tariq Cohen or Alvin Kamara down in New Orleans. So I think featuring Aaron Jones, he's earned every right to get as many touches as he can because he's proved when you put the ball in his hands, good things traditionally happen. So I hope the Packers continue to spread the ball out on offense, whether Devontae's in the lineup or not. I think just having more weapons and multiple ways to attack defenses on a week-to-week basis just keeps those defenses off balance. And I think Matt LaFleur will get back to that balance. And, yeah, absolutely, Aaron Rodgers wanted to get his buddy Devontae Adams back in the action, back in the mix, develop that chemistry again. So maybe just a little bit leaning a bit heavy on Devontae, but I think LaFleur will bring the balance back to the offense.
Do you like what they're doing with Matt LaFleur and the way it's getting done, or do you still see that, because you had mentioned, you know, you want to try to get a quote to his buddy Devontae Adams. Do you like the way Aaron Rodgers has kind of accepted the offense and said, look, I don't need to go out and throw for 400 yards. I can just get it done by handing it off and getting it to a few guys and moving the ball down the field? Or do you think that Aaron Rodgers, I think he's kind of having that MVP-esque season because of the morphing in which he's done. Now, he's not going to get credit for it, but I think he's had a hell of a year so far. Do you like the way things have gone?
Yeah, but the best part of his MVP-like season is that he's playing within structure of the offense, and the offensive design is all about balance and making sure you're equally running the football to passing the football and spreading it around to a variety of options. And that was my biggest criticism of the Mike McCarthy era, was just his lack of balance and commitment to the run game. Even if it's not successful, you need to commit to it to keep defenses off balance, and that really opens up the rest of the offensive attack. And last year, the Packers were last in running the football, last in running the football on first and 10, last in rushing attempts. So to see the Packers in the middle of a pack right now as far as committing to the run game, and then just seeing Aaron Rodgers playing from the pocket, playing within structure, getting the ball out of his hands, taking more calculated deep shots rather than just trying to extend the play and having more of an improvisational style that we've seen over the past couple of years. And listen, he's blessed us with great plays over the last 10 years outside the pocket, outside of structure. But as you get to the twilight of your career and you're 35, 36, 40 years old, hey, there's a lot of young running quarterbacks. There aren't a lot of old ones. And rarely do you get to the twilight of your career and continue that play style. And I think Aaron Rodgers is trusting the system, playing from the pocket, playing within structure. And I think we're seeing a really dangerous Packers offense.
Talking with Ben Fennell, film analyst and producer for the NFL Network and ESPN. I wanted to ask you, defensively speaking, I don't know if it's the actual scheme or if it's just guys missing. We've got a very aggressive secondary that we pay attention to with Kevin King and Jair Alexander, and yet you'll see the middle of the field wide open and some of those guys playing, I don't know if it's a soft zone or they're just playing very deep. What has been the bugaboo about not being able to defend the pass over the middle for the Packers?
Well, it's a combination of things. Obviously, it's an aggressive attacking defense, and there's always that bit of a void in the middle of the field with the safeties and the linebackers. I don't think coverage is kind of their strong suit when you're talking about the Blake Martinez and the, you know, B.J. Goodsons of the world. And I think the Carolina Panthers had a lot of great offensive designs this past week to, you know, get Greg Olsen over the middle of the field and really attack the linebackers. And that's what offenses want to do with the Packers. They don't really want to touch Jair Alexander's side of the field. You really want to try to exploit that intermediate void between the safeties and the linebackers there. But, you know, the defense can't have all pro players at every position, and that's kind of the area of weakness right now with the Packers, defensive collectively. They're obviously getting pressure on the quarterback and getting pressure very, very quickly, whether it's the Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark with another big game last week, getting a push up the middle. And I just think you have to give some credit and a hat tip to opposing offenses. You know, there's some millionaires on the other side, too. They get paid a lot of money to, you know, find ways to beat opposing defenses. And I thought the Carolina Panthers, particularly Kyle Allen, had a really good game last week.
The defense secondary, how would you rate Jair Alexander and Kevin King overall?
Well, Jair Alexander, I think he's on a trajectory of being an all-pro cornerback. I think he'll be a Pro Bowler this year and then maybe next year turning into an all-pro. And I think he's just that step behind of making those big plays. Like we saw last week, him dropping that potential pick six to seal the game. And, he's turned into a shutdown corner that you can trust in man-to-man. And with that, that means you get their number one. And, you know, like we saw him against Amari Cooper a couple weeks ago, they each had their plays. Each took their shots. And that's kind of life in the NFL as a corner. And I think Jair plays very confident. And even if he does get scored on like an NBA defender, he's right back there with the next play, ready to buckle down and, you know, play like he can. Kevin King's kind of been the enigma of the group. He's really struggled to stay on the field. He's struggled to stay healthy. And because of that, his play has been so up and down. So until he can really prove that he can stay on the field consistently with health, we can then evaluate his play. And last week, I thought he had a decent game. He gave up a couple catches underneath. But when it mattered most down in the red zone, you know, he's a tall corner that plays the catch point very well. He just really needs to get healthy, stay on the field, and then see some sort of consistency in his play. We've seen flashes of really good play. We've seen flashes of some boneheaded play. What is Kevin King? Who is Kevin King? I don't think we really know yet.
I also wanted to ask you, I mean, special teams for this Green Bay Packers team. Look, punting has been good, albeit not in this last game. Once the weather got cold, we know what Mason Crosby has been able to do. But their coverage units and the return units have just not mustered anything. It just hasn't been impressive. And it's been this way for a long, long time. Is there something that you see as you guys break this down schematically that this Packers team either one isn't doing or two just isn't capable of doing?
You know, those special teams units are really tough to figure out. You know, I thought it was a coaching thing with Ron Zook last year and some of the schematic decisions he was making. But, you know, with the new coordinator this year, they're having some of the same problems just in different styles. So I think J.K. Scott's done a really good job with his leg. But the coverage units, man, that's a tough revolving door in the NFL. And it's typically the back-end roster guys that are coming in off the street, off the practice squad, being asked to play these kind of unique roles on kickoff and punt return and maybe working with some players that you haven't really been used to seeing side-by-side in the communication. And, you know, nobody cares about special teams all week, and the fans don't care until Sunday you give a big return, and then everybody's wondering what's going on with special teams. And, you know, it's just one of those kind of segments of football that you don't want to hear any news about. And typically no news is good news. And I really don't have a reason for it. It's a week-to-week thing, and it's kind of just a collective consistency. It's a lot like tackling on the defense. There's not one thing to just look at to improve it. It's a cultural thing. It's a collective unit thing. And, you know, it's really kind of a week-to-week evaluation.
Let me ask you this, top five NFC teams as you would rank them, because we were going over this a little bit earlier, and I know there's a lot of people that wanted to jump on the Seattle bandwagon after that win last night, the two losses they have in their docket very good losses, albeit they were at home. The ugly one that New Orleans just had to Atlanta down in their place. You can kind of shuffle the top, but how do you see the top five right now in the NFC?
Right now, I'm still going to put the 49ers as number one with Green Bay right on their heels, especially after the loss last night. I'll put the Seattle Seahawks at number three. And then four and five, I'm going to put a tie between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, who are both sitting at 5-4, and a lot of fans are looking at them around the NFL like, are they a 500 team? I think both these teams are elite units in the NFC that have each kind of, you know, had a hiccup or two to start the season, but they've also shown some really, really good dominant play. And I think as we get to the second half of the year, the Cowboys and the Eagles are going to emerge as kind of double-digit win teams and really competing for that NFC East. And if I had to put a sixth team, I think the New Orleans Saints, you know, obviously they've had some injuries and, you know, trying to find their way in 2019. Tough loss to the Atlanta Falcons last weekend. But I still think they're a competitive team, an experienced team. And I'll tell you right now, nobody wants to see Drew Brees in playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ben, always a pleasure, man. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Ben Fennell, film analyst and producer for the NFL Network and ESPN, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider! Hiring drivers right now, you work hard and they will treat you fair. 80 plus, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.